Hello.
Hi, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Nestor, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I spoke to you a couple years ago when the Journeys came around here. I think it was like,
yeah, your name sounded familiar. I said, I think I know this guy.
What is going on with the bad English people at this point?
We're just, doing our tour here, headlining a smaller venue tour, and we're doing clubs and small theaters, basically, to promote the album, and, we felt that it was a better situation for us than, going out with a band and getting put on an opening sort of situation just because, the caliber of players and the people involved,
Okay. What happened to get this whole thing together? I know you're probably the person to talk to. I said when this whole interview thing, I don't want to talk to Kane. I talked to him once before, and then I said, well, this guy is the link. I mean, you knew Sean from Journey. You knew Wade from the Babies.
Right.
So,
it just seemed like, the natural next step in my career was to, work with two people I really care a lot about. And who I thought, would be an interesting combination. I've, been a producer for the last few years and have had the pleasure of putting some great musicians together on the Jimmy Barnes Project and Michael Bolton. And, I watched Jimmy Barnes and David Lindley, rip it up. And, David Lindley and Neil Sean and Tony Brock and, put Randy Jackson with these people and, really had some fun things happen out of it. And so I sort of sat back and thought about who I'd really want to play some rock and roll with again, and I was looking for a lead singer, and it was just a matter of timing with John. I was on the road with Michael Bolton. I was his musical director for the Heart show about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I saw that show.
And
that's when he had the hit, right? The Doctor of the Bay.
I produced that.
Right.
And it was like Trudy Green was sitting there, the manager of Heart, and I wanted to get involved with Trudy, and I was asking her about singers, and she had signed John Waite, And so I said, well, have him call me. So he called me, and the next thing we were talking about old times and doing a new thing,
How did the Babies thing come together and fall apart?
Well, the Babies actually was came together before I was in the band. I think that was back...
it was a British band, right?
Yeah, they got signed in England. I think they got signed back in 76 or 75. I think 76 is when their first record came out. And they got signed on a video they had sent to Chrysalis, That was sort of a new way of getting signed. And, they were kind of ahead of their time there.
Now, when did you join? Were you there for Isn't It Time? And
yeah, I joined for Every Time I Think of You, which was the head first album.
Right.
And
well, how did they find you?
Well, I just auditioned. It was a street thing. I heard about it, through the grapevine, and a friend of mine told me to go audition. So I auditioned and kept going back. Must have been 2 weeks of auditions, and I got the gig.
So where are you from?
Chicago.
See, I never knew that. I always thought of you as a San Francisco person because all the rest of the guys in Journey were San Francisco person.
I was originally from Chicago, moved to L.A. for 8 years, and so I did my time there. And,
purgatory.
Yeah, purgatory. And then, got picked up. The reason the Babies folded was sort of a couple of things. It was a death situation with Chrysalis and bad management, I think, at that point, and... we just had some problems, and there was really no... It was a turntable hit. The Babies still don't have a gold album.
Really?
No, there's no gold album.
Two songs, and they went 13. I looked it up last night.
Yeah.
But anyway, John was having some problems with his solo career after A Change got re-released and it became a hit. And then I remember hearing him on the radio, about a year and a half ago, when he had a song that he wanted to push, and it just never happened. I don't remember the name of the song.
These Times Are Hard for Lovers?
Hard Times for Lovers.
Are Hard for Lovers, right.
I thought it was a good song, and it never happened.
Well, EMI went down the tube. See, that was EMI.
Manhattan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they went belly up right about the time of the release, so they lost that record, too. So that was bad time for John. And he had just gotten tired of the solo, fire. You know, you're always in the frying pan, it seems like, you know, when you're a solo artist. And there's a lot of responsibility, you know, to bear. And I think he just got tired of it. And so, you know, Bad English, I was just tired of you know, doing the solo. The producing thing was fun, but I was really looking for a band.
Why the name Bad English?
It was one of those accident things. I was reading this manual, how to play pool, and we were waiting for the mixes to get done, and we were all playing pool, and we started playing pool for, you know, small change, and then it got, you know, we were playing pool for sushi, and then it got to like $100, $200 pool matches. So I was reading these manuals, just having, you know, fun playing around with technique, and English, of course, on a pool table was left and right and center and bottom. And I was showing Neil left English and right English, and Neil would hit a ball with left English and go the exact opposite way it was supposed to. And I looked at Neil and I said, "Man, we have a new one for the book, Neil. It's called Bad English." You know, and we laughed and we walked away. And the next day, somebody had said something about Bad English, and our manager, Trudy Green, said, "That's it. That's the name of the band." I said, "Really?" I didn't even know. You know, it was one of those coin of phrase.
What was Neil doing at this? When did this whole thing? Okay, this was a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
now,
John and I got together a year ago in June.
So it's been a year, 15 months now.
Yeah, 15 months. And Neil really hadn't joined the band till September, the end of September.
Now, why did he get in?
Well, we'd been looking for a guitar player.
You found a good one.
we had been looking for a guitar player and drummer. Ricky got in early on the thing. We had about six songs, and we had gotten a record deal solidified with Epic, and they wanted to hear more material, and we knew we needed a great guitar player. So we, you know, we're auditioning people and writing songs at the same time. We tried a lot of, you know, great players, but Neil would come down and help us with our demos and stuff, and was interested in the band, you know. And I just thought it was to key in on Neil was a good idea. And, you know, he kept calling us up, asking us if we'd found a guitar player yet, you know.
That's kind of...
Well, he was working on a solo album late night, you know. And
did you have to twist his arm pretty much? Or?
Not much, no. He eventually, you know, saw a good thing. He heard that the material, really liked it, and, you know, had a really good time playing with John and I. So he came along fairly quick, you know. But he brought Dean Castronova, which completed the band, and was a valuable player, you know, to the whole
thing. Now, where's he from?
Dean's from Salem, Oregon. And he was playing with a band called the Wild Dogs up in Portland. Thrash metal band, actually. And, you know, he called me on the phone. He said, "I found a drummer, you know. I think this guy will be perfect for the band." And he brought him in, and sure enough, he was great.
So where did you do all this recording and getting all...
We went to L.A. The band went to L.A. We spent about 6 months writing and 5 months writing in San Francisco. And then, like, when Neil joined, we finished writing the album.
John lives in San Francisco then?
No, he was staying in San Francisco. Just we rented an apartment for him. And he was staying, writing at my house. And then we moved it down to L.A. for the guitar and drum auditions, you know. And Neil ended up coming down, and he's actually moved down to L.A. now.
So all of the action was happened by you and John, pretty much, and then
well,
Neil got in.
Started it, and then, you know, of course, Neil came along, and was the icing on the cake, really, with bringing Dean in and stuff.
Okay, where does this leave Journey? Defunct?
Journey pretty much had been abandoned by Steve, you know. He decided he wanted to, you know, go on a solo and didn't have the energy to maintain the sheriff of Journey, you know. I didn't want to wear the badge anymore and felt the responsibility too great. And it was just, he had things in his life that he wanted to straighten out. Had lost some members of his family to cancer and stuff, and really just wanted to slow his life down, you know. Didn't want to run with a Journey machine, you know. And so...
Is that bad? Is that a shame?
It's not a bad thing. It's just that you come to a time in your life when you either want to do this or you don't. And Journey, you know, was an army of energy, you know, and he was at the head of it. And of course, there was a lot of heat to be taken, and, you know, he He gave a lot of his life to Journey, and I think that, you know, he should be remembered for, you know, being a great singer and a great frontman, and not to be, you know, looked at any other way. I think he gave a lot, you know, of his heart to this business and to our band. So, you know, if it comes a time in your life when you got to say, hey, I want to slow down, I got to go along with it. Yeah, okay.
So what's he doing now? Anything musically? Or
kind of solo thing. He's been sort of making an album, you know, at his own leisurely pace. Of course, we wouldn't have stood for that, you know.
Right, so he's got enough cash that doesn't
matter to him. He's more interested in doing it, you know.
Well, I mean, you got to do something with your time, you know what I mean? It's just
no, he's you know, he's toying around with it. He just keeps writing new songs and playing around with it, and then it's like a car, you know, he's fine-tuning it, and eventually he'll release it, you know.
So you could pick up the phone and call Steve Perry tomorrow and
I have. He's called my house. Yeah, we're in good terms, yeah.
Okay, what happens to Jackson and the drummer you had? Was
Michael Barrett's playing with Billy Idol.
Oh, is he?
And he'll be out with that tour, and Randy Jackson joined Breakfast Club.
Oh, did he?
So, you know, and of course Steve Smith has his jazz career with Vital Information.
What about Ross Valerie?
And Ross is playing in a band called The View back in the Bay Area.
He's like a Bay Area legend at this point.
Yeah, they're trying to get signed. They still haven't been signed by a record company, but they're, you know, making demos and working on it.
Now with Bad English, was this thing financed by you, or did the record company sign you up ahead of time when you're just your passive hours? Or?
Well, it was kind of, it was Trudy. It was Trudy, Trudy supporting us.
Is Trudy he or she?
Trudy Green is she.
Okay, just making sure.
She manages Hard.
Okay.
Whitesnake. And Trudy and myself, and, you know, of course.
Is that Green with an E, or?
Yeah, it's Trudy Green, right?
E-E-N-E?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she believes, and I believe, and, you know, I came maybe some $8,000-$9,000 out of pocket. Not a big deal.
Well, I was wondering, I mean, all these bands that come up out of nowhere have to push and push and push to get a deal with you guys on your name, I'm sure.
Well, we didn't get an easy deal. We had to prove ourselves. We had to make a demo, and it had to get, you know, approved.
They didn't want rehashed Journey and Babies and Santana or whatever.
We did the demo at my house, and I engineered and produced it, and then they turned us to Richie Zito, who was, you know, in line to do John's record. And John had been signed to Epic, but they just didn't want a band, you know, without hearing it.
And right.
So, I mean, it seemed like a natural thing since we were signed to CBS to go to Epic, which is a subsidiary, because I can't really play in any other label because of my Journey obligations. So Epic seemed like the right choice.
So Journey is going to have to make another album or default on its contract, or or have you worked something out?
No, that's kind of, if Journey's not together, there's really no contract, you know. You know, Steve Perry owes him a lot of albums, but that's his deal. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. What is your show like at this point? How many shows have you done?
Well, we've done about 36 shows.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was...
Yeah, we've been on the road for about 2 months. We opened up this thing in Japan with Jeff Beck, and it was really good.
Okay, so what songs are you doing?
We're doing 9 songs from the album at the time.
Off the Bad English album?
Yeah.
Now, are you doing baby songs?
Some cities we do, some cities we don't. The baby cities, we play head first. But, you know, I mean, some towns just weren't very big Babies fans, you know, so we...
Are you doing Every Time I Think of You? Or,
no, none of that.
Okay. Are you doing any Journey stuff?
No.
Are you doing...
Wait stuff, no.
No.
It's Bad English we're promoting. It's not a...
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to do something more than 9 songs.
Yeah, well, we have a couple other, you know, solo interludes and stuff that we've added, you know, sort of give everybody a chance to stretch out.
Is Neil doing the song y'all did on the Frontiers tour?
No.
Because I remember he had a solo song and y'all played it.
No, No More Lies, no.
Right.
We're not doing it. It's pretty much a Bad English show. You know, and everybody's been real pleased with it so far.
You think that'll disappoint some people who don't know about it?
Yeah, but I think that when they see the band, they'll understand why we're doing this and why we're playing strictly Bad English material, you know.
I just think some people will come and say, you know, well, you know, maybe they'll throw one Journey song and one, you know, Missing You or... Something like that in there.
Well, it's kind of, it's, you know, it's, that was that time, and to always look back on, I mean, it's like Phil Collins going with Genesis and doing his solo stuff. It's not really Genesis, is it?
No, I guess it isn't.
It's like Robert Plant playing Zeppelin, you know. He doesn't really do much of it, you know. He had to this last tour, but...
good stuff, too, by the way.
Yeah, good stuff, you know.
It still holds up. What about the crowds? Now, it must be something to... I know I have the escape video from Houston, and I look at you guys and you know, all these people, and now Friday I'm going to come down and see, and there's going to be 700 or 800 people.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Well, it's a new experience for us. I used to play clubs with the Babies, of course, and you know, always enjoyed it. Sometimes it's a little crowded on stage, but I think overall, you know, Neil has really enjoyed it. He's never done a club tour. This is his first club tour, you know, all these years. He's always been in stadiums and coliseums, and he was kind of apprehensive at first, but I mean, it was one of those things where once you've done it and you know, you played these places, it's really fun. It's, you get an intimate feeling. You get to see the people react to your music, actually see them, you know. I really enjoy it a lot. I enjoy people, you know, at the edge of the stage and shaking their hands and sweating on them and throwing water on them, and you know, it's a lot of fun.
So you've got two hits now. How long are you gonna hold this one out before you
keep going with this record? As long as it'll if they can keep pulling them out of the hat, we'll stay out there and support this record. We put 13 songs on the record. We gave them a pretty good menu, and there's a lot to choose from out there. So. You know, we'll, hopefully we can stay alive with this record. And that was our plan. And then hopefully, you know, back to the drawing board with another album, and I think we're at least looking that far.
Oh, okay. Well, nobody, I don't think, was sure whether this was a one-shot thing. I mean,
yeah, a lot of people have been saying that. You know,
put a semi-all-star band together, and you got to, you know, you have your doubts about...
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of disappointments in the past, and... everybody has a reason, you know, to be doubtful, and there's nothing worse than getting into a band only to have it break up. I think it's very discouraging for the fans, and they're the ones that ultimately lose, as well as, you know, players that have a good thing, you know. And there's been plenty of bands that have broken up, you know, great bands for real silly reasons.
Start with the Beatles.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good to be back, and, you know, I haven't played Baltimore in eons. It's been...
I don't think you've played Baltimore. I know you didn't play here as a journeyite.
No,
so.
Never. I think we might have done it close to it in the Babies with Alice Cooper, I think. We might have come close there. But I've never really played Baltimore, so looking forward to it. Home of the Orioles, what can you say?
Hey,
had a good year this year.
Well, you've got the teams there this weekend.
I think you should
rent your house out this weekend back in San Francisco.
I tell you, it's pretty insane having the Niners win the Super Bowl, and then it's kind of like the Giants and the Mets, you know.
Well, it's
the whole thing. It feels real good, though. I'm real excited about.
I know you guys are a pretty big sports fan, especially with the Niners. These guys used to pump the satellite in there, didn't you?
Oh yeah, we were big on the Niners. I'm still a big Niners fan. I, you know, Joe Montana's a friend, and you know, I like them, and I like the whole organization. They're a real classy bunch of people, and Barlow's a great guy, and you know, they're all just really nice. So it's nice to be in. You know, and a little bit on the inside there.
Did you go to the game last year?
I sure did, but this year it looks like the road, you know. But I'm running a sound check, Nestor, so is there anything else you want to...
Oh, go. I'll see you Friday.
Okay, it's been good talking to you, and, you know, hopefully come back and say hello and introduce yourself.
I'll probably be down for the sound check. You guys doing a sound check in Baltimore?
We do a sound check everywhere.
Well, I'll probably see you at 5 o'clock at Hammerjack's on Friday then.
Sounds good.
You'll love Hammerjack's.
Yeah, I heard it's really fun.
The biggest club on the East Coast.
It'll be fun.
See ya.
Okay, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.